Okay, we want to start this morning. I just want to do a real quick review of Sunday, because it's been an entire week since we got together. Usually it's only a few days in between sessions. So I want to just real quickly review last time. So you'll remember last time we started in Judges 1. And so we're kind of making that transition from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges. And the content, though, from Judges 1 is not significantly different from the content towards the latter half of the book of Joshua. And the topic in that first chapter of the book of Judges is the land and the taking of the land, and really their failure to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Do you remember that from last time? Can I see some nods? Yeah. Okay. I do see some nods. Good. So you kind of remember that they had failed. And actually, in Judges, it goes through listing some specific cities that they either did or did not drive out the inhabitants of. And you'll remember we looked at those on the map. So map work is going to be key this quarter, particularly to those of you who are teaching. We looked at several of those cities on the map. We were reintroduced to the Kenites. Anyone remember the Kenites? Who they were? Hobab, yeah, the descendants of Hobab. Hobab happened to be the brother-in-law of whom? Moses. All right, good. So the brother-in-law of Moses, the descendants, remember that they agreed to go into the land with the Israelites, and they really settled in a city called Arad, down towards the on the south end of the Dead Sea, but more just a little bit west of the Dead Sea, there in the southern part of the territory of Judah. Another thing that Charles pointed out to me last time, and I had thought about this, but I didn't bring it up, but I think it's an excellent point, and it's one of those points that you're not going to get unless you have a good, solid understanding of the overall Bible story. And you're not going to really see the significance of it unless you have that understanding. Do you remember which tribe was the leader last week? Judah, right? Who will go first, right? That was the question in Judges 1. Judah. Judah will go first. And you'll remember that Judah had significant success, right, in driving out the inhabitants of those lands. And you'll remember particularly one person from the tribe of Judah. Do you remember Caleb? Caleb who got the fields around what city? Hebron. Good. You guys are remembering. This is awesome. Yeah, good. So Caleb got the fields around Hebron, and he asked to do that. And Judah also had success driving out the inhabitants of several other territories, with the exception of really the Philistines. They didn't have a lot of success driving out the Philistines. Say again, someone? And Jerusalem. And Jerusalem wasn't really in Judah's territory, right? Jerusalem was in whose territory? Benjamin. Good. Very good. And so they did attack Jerusalem. We covered that story last time. But the Jebusites went right back into the city, right? So that was last time. And I think the point that Charles made, which I think is an excellent point, is that what you see there perhaps is the seeds being planted for the divided kingdom. Because the rest of the tribes did not have success driving out the inhabitants of the land. Now, why do I say that? Which the northern or the southern tribe, which was the more wicked? The northern tribes, right? They were more wicked. And do you think that the failure to drive out those inhabitants early on had anything to do with that? Did God say it would have anything to do with that? He absolutely did, didn't he? That if you let them stay there, they will be a what? This word came up a few times. They'll be a snare to you. They will be a snare to you. So I think we're seeing just that, the beginning, just the seed of the divided kingdom, and how that happened, how that Judah and Israel divided, and why that Israel was taken away first. And again, that point won't really mean anything to you unless you have kind of a grasp of the overall Bible story. So I really appreciated him pointing that out. And I think that's an interesting one that probably some of the older students will see the significance of that. Those who have been through the cycle once or twice before are going to see that. And I think that's a very accurate point. So any other thoughts from last time? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. It will be a snare. Very good. Very good. So And keep in mind, again, I see Wes here this morning. He's the one who called me and told me to watch that special on the History Channel, which was just a gross... It was gross humanism is what it was, but it was still interesting to see another take on the on that. And, you know, their position on it was these poor Canaanites that Joshua came in and destroyed. Do not, whatever you do, do not leave that impression on your children when you're teaching this class, that these were poor people who were just annihilated. Do not leave that impression. These were wicked, wicked, sexually immoral people who offered human sacrifices. The land was ready to spew them out. They deserved everything they got. They were receiving God's judgment. And God had been long-suffering with this people in that He hadn't given the land to the Israelites before. Make that point. Hey, don't let them think for a second that God was being merciless or that the Israelites were being merciless. These people deserved no mercy. All right, so let's go. The last thing we come to is a visit from the angel of the Lord in the first part of Judges 2. And basically, the reminder is, you've broken the covenant. You haven't done what I asked you to do. You haven't driven out the inhabitants of the land. And you know, the consequences are, that I'm not going to be with you to help you drive them the rest of the way out. Their gods are going to be a snare to you. And when Israel heard that, they wept, and the name of that place was called Bochim, which means weeping. All right. So, we start in Judges, and really, Judges chapter 2 is an inspired overview of this period of Bible history, the one we're about to enter in. So we are kind of doing a transition now between the invasion and conquest. The content really shifts here beginning in Judges chapter 2 and verse 6. The content really shifts to the period of the Judges. We're kind of setting the background in chapters 1 and the first part of chapter 2. Now we're looking at the period of the Judges. So the people served Jehovah all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. But then, notice the close of verse 7, Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the elders who outlived Joshua. Those who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which He had done for Israel. Then we have in the next few verses the retelling of the death of Joshua. He was 110 years old when he died, and they buried him in his territory, Timnath-Heres, which was in the hill country of what tribe was Joshua from? Ephraim. Okay, good. Ephraim. So in the hill country of Ephraim is where Timnath-Heres was, and he was buried there. And we're not told a lot about, you know, the burial of Joshua or the funeral or anything like that. We just don't have that information. And then notice verse 10. I think verse 10 is a key verse. Judges 2 and verse 10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation rose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. And that's something that you do see. You know, that this is not unique to this period of Bible history. Oftentimes there will be a group of older people who are steadfast and firm, and then you replace that old guard with a new guard who had it a little bit easier and who didn't necessarily have the same experiences as that older guard did. And I think that's what we see happening here. There's a new generation coming up that doesn't have the experiences of that old generation and doesn't have the same fervor and zeal that old generation does. And it says here, they didn't know the Lord, nor the work which He had done for Israel. Part of that could be attributed to the older generation not teaching. And another part of it could be contributed to the younger generation not learning. It kind of goes both ways, doesn't it? You have to be willing to be taught. And I think that there's some of that that goes on. Yeah? Didn't show them the memorial by the Jordan, of the crossing of the Jordan? Bob has a nice little parable he tells about that, which is very, very interesting. They were not taught, and apparently they did not learn the works which God had done for Israel. So then, We begin the cycle. Now, Judges 2, 11 through 19, I almost want to, I know it's kind of a lengthy reading, but I almost want to just read that because that's better than I can do at summarizing it. This is an inspired overview of the period. So just the inspired author of the book of Judges tells us how the period's going to go. And then, is you know, I like to start a period with an overview of the period. So let's go ahead and just take that overview. We'll read, Demi, would you read verses 11 through 15? Judges 2, verses 11 through 15. All right, so we see the first two parts of the cycle here, don't we? The first part is, wasn't it exactly what God said? If you don't drive those people out, they'll be a snare to you and you'll serve their gods. And that'll be a snare to you. What's the first thing that they do? Yep, serve the Balaam, right? Very good. And then what's God's response to that? He's angry, right? And He delivers them to their enemies, and He's not with them when they go out anymore. And in fact, it says He's against them because they have forsaken Him, that He's against them. So we have the sin, the apostasy, and then the punishment, the oppression from their enemies. So that's the first two steps in the cycle. Let's get verses 16 through 19. Wes, would you read those for us? All right, good. So in this, we see the next few steps in the cycle. Verse 18 is kind of out of order, right? Because it tells us the Lord raised up judges. But before the Lord would raise up a judge, verse 18, at the close of verse 18, the Lord would be moved to pity by their groaning. So because of the oppression, right, they would groan and cry out to the Lord. And there would be some level of repentance, typically. And they would turn back to the Lord. The Lord would raise up a judge. Okay, and then the judge would deliver them. And then what would happen? Exactly. Peace for a little while under the judge. And then they'd go right back to their old ways, right? And in fact, I think the text here indicates that even while the judge was judging, there was a significant number of the people who didn't follow after the judge and who would still continue worshiping those gods, even while the judge was there. But there would be some level of repentance anyway, and then some peace while there was some number that followed the judge, and then eventually they'd go back. And this says, at the close of verse 19, right, that it was even worse than the last time. And so we see it getting worse and worse and worse with that. And I think that's going to come up just a little bit later in this lesson. We're going to maybe note that as something somewhat significant. So that's the cycle, right? They serve other gods. Jehovah becomes angry, delivers them into the hands of their enemies. They would cry out because of their oppression. There'd be some level of repentance. Then Jehovah would raise up a judge to deliver them. There would be peace for a while. For a while, the peace would be limited. Then they'd turn right back. So this just is kind of in an infinite loop, right? Going through this cycle all the way through the days of Samuel when they cry out for a king. So the Canaanites are left. That's what we have left in Judges chapter 2. God did not drive out the inhabitants of the land. And we're given a lot of insight. The close of Joshua, the beginning of Judges, and right here as to why. Because Israel didn't do it. They didn't just man up, is what I would say. They didn't just go in and take the inhabitants. They didn't have the faith that they needed to do that. And so God did not drive out the inhabitants of the land. And it says it's because the Israelites transgressed the covenant. They broke the covenant. Now that is a key phrase, and Bob points this out in his book, and I think that's a very important thing to look at throughout the Old Testament. How many times you see that you broke my covenant. You broke the covenant I made with you. So this isn't the first time that they broke this covenant that God had made with them. In fact, the first time was almost immediately after they made it, wasn't it? Do you remember that from Exodus chapter 32, 33, 34, the golden calf? So almost instantly they broke the covenant. Then, you know, they cried out, God renewed the covenant. But again, you know, they were told back in Deuteronomy, when you go in, if you drive them out, if you're faithful, there'll be all these blessings. But if not, there'll be these curses. So here they've broken the covenant, and that's why God hasn't driven out the inhabitants. But we're also told that these nations were left as a test to see whether or not that they would obey the Lord as a test for them, because they had transgressed and left them there. And also, we're told in the first part of Judges chapter 3 that these were left so that Israel could get the experience of war. Not all the Israelites had had the experience of war of this late generation, and so there were some left to teach them the experience of war. The kings that are left to teach them this experience of war are listed there in the first part of Judges chapter 3. And that is going to be the five lords of the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidonians. So the Sidonians, where would they be from? Have an idea? Sidon, right? Sidon, which would be where on the map? So the north, right? The northwest on the plain of what we call Phoenicia. Okay? Sidonians, the Canaanites, and the Hivites who dwelt in Mount Lebanon. You remember where Mount Lebanon was? Mount Lebanon was in the hill country, but up to the north. So on the west side of the Jordan, up to the north. And then there was another mountain on the east side of the Jordan, which was listed here, Mount Hermon. Okay. They were left that He might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which He had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So that's the inspired overview of the period of the Judges. So what we have now is kind of the list of the judges. And this is, if you're teaching children, drill them on this. So now I'm going to ask this question. And when I ask this question, I want you to know that I'm not asking this to put anybody on the spot. Okay? That's not why I'm asking it. Sometimes I'll ask a question and really all I want to know is, do I need to cover this material with you? Okay? That's all I'm asking. So if I say, do you know the list of the judges? And Lee says, I don't know them. What I'm not going to do is say, everybody look at Lee. She doesn't know the list of the judges. Now, I picked Lee out because she taught me that list, so I know she knows them. But I'm not going to do that, okay? I'll never do that. So if I ask, do you know something? Don't be afraid to, you know, I mean, you might not want to stick your hand up so everybody can see, but if you could, you know, let me know. And really, all I want to know is, do we need to cover the material? I'm not going to embarrass anyone with that. Okay? So, do you guys know this list of the judges? All right. I see mostly nods, but a few shakes. Okay. So, what we're going to do is we're going to go over this list. And I have a technique that I've learned from Bob, and I've always done it on the whiteboard. Now, one of the things that I've learned from doing this is that people have a ton of fun when you do this. Now, I have it in PowerPoint form today, so we're going to hold off. We'll get to that in a moment. But what I like to do is just start on the whiteboard, list them out, number them 1 to 15, right? And write the name of each of them. And then we'll go through and we'll say them together. Okay? Say them all together, reading them off the board. So the first time's real easy, right? You just read it off the board. Okay? Then what we'll do is we'll take one at random. Now, one of the things I do, now I'm not going to do it today because I have it in PowerPoint form, but what I could recommend that you do with the children, and it just works, is have them to pick one that they already know, and maybe even let one of the kids come up to the board and erase the one that they already know, and then you can go back over that list again and drill it with them. And remember, they can look at it. So with a list like this, 15 times, you will have said the judges 15 times, okay, all together. And one of the things I like to do is that last time, I like to say, now you can still look at the board. And you know, there's nothing but numbers up there. But you can still look at the board, and sometimes that helps them. And they get a kick out of that. So that's a fun technique that Bob has taught me. So just keep this list in mind. We're going to go over it in just a little bit. Hopefully time permits us to do that. So I wanted to talk, and Bob goes through this very, very thoroughly in his book. And it's a very good description on about pages. If you have the book, it's going to be on about pages 58, 57 and 58. It goes over the date, the time of the judges. So I want to spend just a little bit of time with this. Now, when you're teaching children, you're probably going to spend more time on the list of the judges and less time on the time of the judges, right? Now, if you're teaching the high schoolers, I would expect in this congregation, the high schoolers are going to know that list of the judges. They should. Okay? If you can spend less time on that and maybe dig a little deeper and talk more about the time of the judges and teach them how to look for things that they may not have thought about in the verses, in the text before. Okay? So let's do that now so you can be prepared. So even if you're not going to teach this, as a teacher I like to know a lot more than I'm really going to teach about a topic when I go in. So let's talk about the time of the judges. So when you look at it biblically, the period extends from Othniel to Saul, right? Othniel is the first judge, and he was the nephew of Caleb. And then it goes all the way until they anoint Saul king. Okay? That's when it begins and that's when it ends, the period of the judges. Okay? So if you look at it from a character point of view, that's easy enough, isn't it? Just that period of time is the period of the judges. Now be aware that there are skeptics, and Bob just really mentions this, but there are skeptics that date the conquest much, much later than the Bible actually dates it. Okay? And those skeptics tend to date a lot of the books much, much later than they really are. Some of that's due to the fact that there are fulfilled prophecies, and those prophecies couldn't have been made before they actually happened, so they have a need to post-date things. The skeptics have just really annihilated the book of Joshua. And you'll see things like Joshua's army of 8,000 or 9,000 men. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? It was a lot more than 8,000 or 9,000 men, wasn't it? That might have been one tribe's worth, one of the smaller tribes, but we know that there were more than that who stayed on the east side of the Jordan, more soldiers than 8,000 or 9,000 that stayed on the east side of the Jordan. So there was a much, much larger force than 8,000 or 9,000 that went in to take the land. So keep that in mind. Skeptics, they ignore the Bible. They pick out basically the names. That's really about all they'll take from the Bible these days. So be aware of that. So we're going to look at how the Bible dates this period. Saul, by most experts, is usually dated at around 1060 to 1020 B.C. That's just, we know that that's a definite end point of the judges. Okay? So that's where it ends, is 1020 to 1060, somewhere in that 40-year time frame. Is a good estimate for the end of the judges, right? So let's then do a little bit trickier problem and try to pick out the beginning. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. That'll give us a date to work with. 1 Kings 6 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come up out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. So we're given a very explicit date of the beginning of the building of the temple, right? So how long after Egypt was it? 480 years, okay? Now most experts date Solomon, the beginning of Solomon's reign, at 961 B.C. Again, those are historians. You know, these numbers aren't necessarily given in the Bible, the 1060 and 961, but those are somewhat reliable numbers from secular historians that we have and scholars and experts. Those are pretty good numbers, so we're going to go with those to get the time of the judges. So, 1 Kings 6:1, it's in the fourth year of Solomon's reign. Did you see that? That's when he began to build the temple. So, if he began his reign in 961, what's the year? Since we're going B.C., it's 957, right? Don't let that confuse you, right? You may not be a math major, but like, you know, in our days, right, 1961 is actually later than 1957, right? But when you're going B.C., 961 is actually earlier than 957, right? We're counting down towards Christ. So 4 years later, after 961... is 957. Okay? So 480 years earlier, so the temple was built in 957. Okay? 480 years earlier is 1437 B.C. So that's when they came out of Egypt. It's a good estimate of that date that they came out of Egypt. Okay? 1437. So 40 years later, that's when they began to take the land, right? 40 years later after they'd come out of Egypt. Brings us up to 1397. That's when they enter the land. All right, you with me so far? I know that numbers are not people's favorite thing, but this is something where the Bible gives us enough information to deduce this. So here we are at 1397 when they go in to begin the invasion and conquest. We looked last time at how long that would take. How long did that take? How much time passed while they were in there fighting those kings? And Freddie and I kind of threw out the number 5 to 7 years, right? Somewhere in that time frame. And most of you guys just accepted that. So let's look back at Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7. See, you can see where Freddie and I got that number. Joshua 14 and verse 7. It's from when Caleb goes to request his inheritance. Okay? Caleb says in Joshua 14 and verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea. All right? So Caleb was 40 years old. Caleb was 40 years old right here when they came out of Egypt. In about 1436, Caleb was 40 years old, right? Because they had been about a year out of Egypt whenever they came to Kadesh Barnea. Do you remember that? It took them about a year to get up to Kadesh Barnea. So about 1436, Caleb is 40 years old. Okay? And he sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land and brought it back to him. and then later on, and I've lost this verse, verse 10, okay, yeah. And he said, these 45 years ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, now here I am this day, 85 years old. Okay? So if he's 40 years old, he's 40 years old at Kadesh Barnea, right? And then 45 years later, he's 85 years old. So he's 85 whenever he goes and requests his inheritance. So 40 years later would have been 1397. So he would have been, you know, about 79 when they enter the land. And he's 85 now when he asks for his inheritance. So that leaves 6 years for the battles to have taken place. Okay? All right, so Caleb's information gives us a little bit about that. So it took 5 or 6 years for them to take the land. So that brings us up to 1397 minus 6 is 1391, right? All right, so then, based on what we read this morning in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, all the elders who outlived Joshua, Joshua's generation needs to die. So we need to allow some time for that to happen. Okay? The conquest took the 6 years. There's some battles in Judges 1. And then Joshua and the elders who outlived Joshua die. So we need a 25 to 50 years estimate. Okay? So that puts the period of the Judges beginning 1366 to 1341 B.C. We're in that time frame is when the Judges began. So 1366 to 1060, roughly what? 300 years, okay? Roughly 300 years, give or take, right? So that's how long the period of the Judges lasts, from 1360 to 1060, roughly, okay? Maybe 1340 to, you know, 1340 to 1020, but 300, maybe 350, something like that, that many years. Okay? 300 at the shortest, 350 at probably the longest. Clear? Everybody see how I came to that? And you can read Bob's explanation, and it's pretty good. I hope I didn't butcher that too badly. So that's something that I think the high schoolers can get, and the high schoolers you can make them follow that, and they can learn that there is a way to dig in and get some details that they might not even think about wanting to get on their own. So I think that's a good teaching opportunity for them. So then the other point Bob brings up, and I don't have any of this on the slides, is, well, if you look at all the numbers of years, you know, the judge would judge this many years and then there'd be peace this many years. You go through that 15 times and you get 450 years or so. And that's different from our 300 years, right? So how do we explain that then? And I think the best explanation is that particularly later in the judges, remember when we looked at that cycle? What was happening with each cycle? They were doing worse, weren't they? Good, Charles. They were doing worse. Okay? So they would do worse each time. So I think that it's reasonable to assume that later in the book of Judges, that the idolatry, the sin was widespread, and there would be judges judging in different parts of the land, and their time would be overlapping. Okay? And I think that's a good explanation for that, and that brings the time much closer with some of that overlap, particularly in the latter period, that brings the time to that 300 or so years. Okay? Questions? Thoughts on that? All right. Since I did see a few shakes on the list of the judges, let's go through this list. Now, you can look at the board. Right? You ready? And let's say them together. I think we can do 100%. Do we have any questions before we get into this, though? On what we've covered so far? Thoughts? Questions? All right, let's memorize this list. Now, I know many of you have already done this, but that's fine. All right. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. All right, so we erased one. Does anybody know which one we erased? Samson, good. All right, you ready? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Now, you can look at the board, but you may not look at your notes. It's another rule we have to make clear. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Oh, can we even get started? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Whew, it's going to get harder, isn't it? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. Now, sometimes I kind of get in a little rhythm here. Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, and I'll say Samson. So maybe that helps you, maybe it doesn't. Eli and Samuel. All right. Okay. I messed up my rhythm there. Are you ready? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. Now, one of the things is, you might point out, since Abimelech just disappeared, that Abimelech wasn't really a judge. He was just kind of a rogue, renegade who just forced himself into power. But the Bible doesn't refer to him as a judge. But he's included in the period. He's included in the list, and he fits in that period. You might point that out as you're going through the list. All right, you ready? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. All right, let's go two at a time. You ready? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. Now, I know that the majority of you know this list. And as I'm looking out over the class period, I know it can be a little monotonous, boring. But also, I've looked out and I've seen some folks smiling as we're going through this. Almost like you're having fun. So if this is the million and first time that you've gone through this list, and you're having just a little bit of fun, Just think about kids when it's their first time and they're going through the list and you let them erase one from the board. And you can make it exciting. You can make it boring like I'm doing today. Or you can kind of make it exciting for them. So it's an opportunity. Now, how are you going to teach them the list if you don't know it? Now, that's going to be a problem, right? So once you know it, I mean, like I said, I do see some smiles. So it can be a fun way to learn the list. All right, you ready? I jabbered and I ended up doing two and didn't tell you, right? Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, and Samuel. Can we get all three of those? I see lots of nods. All right. There we go. They're all gone. All right. Now remember, here's where I put in my corny joke. You can still look at the board. All right. Just read them off the board. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, Samson, Eli, Samuel. So thanks for your patience as we went through that, but I did see some who probably learned that list just this morning. Now, it's probably in your mind right now, but let me tell you this. If you don't work on it, if this was the first time you learned it, if you don't work on it, you will forget it. Okay? You will. So work with your children on that. And then the last thing I had is I wanted to just put this map before you one more time, and I'll let you go. Does everyone have a copy of the blank tribal map that I handed out maybe 3 or 4 classes ago? If not, is there one or two left? One or two. Does everyone have a copy of that? Please make sure you're able to fill that out. Okay? Remember Reuben over here on the east side towards the south? And then Gad kind of has really Gad up to the Yarmouk River. The Yarmouk north is Manasseh. You can get those three. Those are easy. Okay? Then remember Judah over in the south, okay, with Simeon inside the territory of Judah. Dan originally on the west side of Judah, the boundary between Benjamin and Judah and the, you know, the Mediterranean Sea. So Benjamin just north. Remember Benjamin was the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And then Ephraim just to the north of Benjamin. Then Manasseh gets this hill country just to the north of Ephraim. Okay, and then in the north, remember Asher along the plain of Phoenicia, and really didn't drive out the inhabitants at all. And then just to the east of Asher is Naphtali in that northern, extreme northern hill country. Then you have Zebulun tucked in between those on the southern edge. And then Issachar down towards the Jordan Valley. Okay? So keep those in mind. Keep those territorial boundaries in mind. And be able to label that map without cheating, without looking. And review your students on that as well. And maybe be able to note a few cities in that map. Okay? Thanks for your attention this morning. I appreciate it. Okay, yeah. All this material, the PowerPoints and the audio, are on the website. So do take advantage of that as well.